Now, you would think that with the numerous successful and unsuccessful attempts at terrorism here in America over recent years, that prevention would have been better established. But as we saw this past week in New Orleans, apparently not everywhere. Next guest joins us to give his analysis of this tragedy, the flaws that opened the door for it to happen, and the lessons that need to be really engraved into the minds of political leaders and members of law enforcement. Is a former naval intel officer, later served on the White House National Security Council as Deputy Chief of Staff. Today is a senior advisor with the Foundation for Defense of Democracy. He's Rich Goldberg. Thanks so much for being here today, Rich.
Thanks for having me.
And learn more about the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, FDD.org. And we have the link at our homepage as well. Take us back. What was your first reaction when you heard about the story of what took place in New Orleans?
Well, I reminded myself of something that we learned and told ourselves shortly back after September 11th, for those that remember back at 9/11. And the Bush administration launching the war on terror, former President Bush would always say, we have to be right every time. The terrorists have to be right only one time for there to be a horrific attack like what we saw in New Orleans. Vehicle ramming tactics are something that terrorists have been adopting over many years, ISIS and others. We've seen them used in Europe. We've seen them used in Israel. And now we're seeing it here at home as well. My second thought was, who is he? Where did he radicalize? And what were the red flags that were not caught along the way? And it appears there were probably many online footprints, discussions with relatives, social networks, colleagues, employers, people at his mosque where he has an imam that is known for making very radical statements, especially since the October 7th massacre in Israel. So I think a lot of questions still unanswered on how somebody can radicalize like this, be inspired by ISIS, and not get picked up in advance by law enforcement. And then the follow-on question being, who else is out there right now being radicalized, and what are we going to do about that?
What that brings into play, I mean, we all know the ad campaign, see something, say something, but that should, I think we have to make people realize that also involves people in your life, not just people you see in the street or in the subway.
Well, that's correct. That's absolutely right. But I will tell you, you know, we have law enforcement capabilities to try to prevent this from happening. And we use those capabilities in the years following 9/11. And I think as a society, we decided at some point we were done with the era of a war on terror. We were done with the era of vigilance and homeland security. Terrorism was something of the past, especially going through the pandemic years and believing that we were sort of in a new century, a new world view of what our primary threats are. We're reminded that low-tech techniques and tactics by terrorists are quite lethal, that Islamic radicals are still trying to inspire people, connect with people, bring people along to recruit for terrorist attacks like what we saw in New Orleans. And we have a trifecta going on right now. The disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan has led to the rise of ISIS-K that we're told is now a staging ground for terrorist attacks. We have the October 7th massacre and the continued inspiration that is providing to radical Islamists, not just abroad, but here at home as well. And number three, we have a wide open border with many cases now documented of terror-linked individuals crossing that border with what we should assume are many more cells still operating in the United States. So we are absolutely vulnerable at the moment. We should be on very high vigilance every single day. And the incoming administration is going to have to focus on this threat perhaps a lot more than people thought they would need to.
And certainly at the lower levels, too, again, turning to New Orleans, basically held the door open for this to happen. The vehicle traveled 2.5 blocks before it came to a stop because they're called bowlers. For you listening, if you ever did a propane tank exchange at a gas station or Walmart, you've seen these heavy-duty, really thick metal poles around where the propane is kept. That's to keep vehicles from accidentally, the understanding is, from backing into the propane cage and making something really nasty happen. In New Orleans on Bourbon Street, they have a system that apparently raises and lowers the bowlers that got jammed with, of all things, Mardi Gras beads. And no one saw this being as a priority to fix before New Year's Eve. They were targeting more before the Super Bowl.
It's a critical vulnerability, and when you let your vigilance go down, when you're not focused on this as a threat at the federal level, at the state level, at the local level, this is the sort of thing that can happen. So, a teaching moment of the worst kind for local leaders throughout the country, but also for federal and state leaders to start doing double checks, triple checks, making sure that all the areas of high foot traffic, pedestrian traffic, are well guarded from car attacks. Remember a few years ago, we saw this happen in London. Remember that? And London had to take enormous steps to put up those kind of barriers for foot traffic in high pedestrian tourist areas. We've seen that go on for years in many areas of the United States. Apparently still some that need more work, and that work needs to be done immediately.
Or like what happened in Central Park back in 2017 when a radicalized individual drove their car into Central Park and took out people on the bike path. And how did New York City respond? Ban all vehicles from Central Park. Kind of an easy solution to a very threatening problem.
That's right. And the Israelis have obviously dealt with this for several years. We've seen areas in Europe deal with this as well, most recently in Germany at the Christmas market, previously in France. So this is a low-tech problem that has various pretty obvious solutions, but it's not the only kind of tactic that we should be worried about. You do still have the traditional threats of somebody just opening fire on an area, a bombing. We saw the potential use of IEDs by this individual as well. But again, this goes back to what are we doing to monitor? What are we doing to prevent? Are we looking at those who are spewing radical ideologies right now throughout the United States? In the wake of October 7th, I got to tell you, there's one organization out there called Memory that translates Friday sermons in some of the mosques around the country. And some of the imams have said just the most outrageous, radical things. And everybody just goes on with their business. And eventually somebody listens and somebody radicalizes. And then they go online and then they're talking to somebody or they're watching videos. And they're talking to their friends, and they're posting on social media. All of these are steps that should have been picked up by the system, and they did not. They failed. And so I really feel like we're in this pre-9/11 mentality all of a sudden where we've forgotten all the lessons of the last 25 years. We've lowered our guard, and because of the open border, the rise of ISIS-K, the October 7th attacks, the high-level threat we face, terrorists are going to be able to take advantage.
Rich Goldberg, former naval intelligence officer, later served on the White House National Security Council as deputy chief of staff. Now he's a senior advisor with the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, FDD.org, their website. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And a lot of these imams that you mentioned, too, they took a page out of Yasser Arafat's book. When Arafat would be talking to American media, he'd be all warm and fuzzy, happy and joyful, Uncle Yasser. When he would be talking to the Arab media, it was death to Israel and kill the Jews.
That's exactly right. And I'll give you an example. There is a national organization with chapters in major cities around the country called CARE. This is the Council on American Islamic Relations. They've tried to mainstream themselves. They were even invited many times to the Biden administration, to the White House, to be informing officials of all things how to create an anti-Semitism strategy, if you can believe it, but also forming relationships in advance of the presidential primaries in Michigan and elsewhere. This is an organization that after October 7th, the leadership at a banquet celebrated the October 7th massacre, said it was a great thing. We have imams that have spewed just violent rhetoric towards Jews and conspiracy theories about America at Friday sermons in the last year. So there's a lot going on there, and we are not looking to infringe on freedom of speech. We have First Amendment rights in this country, and they are sacred. But you can't be involved in radicalizing people to go commit terrorist attacks, and those that are getting radicalized, who are preparing to commit terrorist attacks, when we have informants, when we have sources, when we have surveillance that is authorized by law, there needs to be a system that detects red flags. And actual networks that are being set up need to be disrupted, finance networks, organizing material support networks, foreign influence that's coming in from abroad or across our border. all of those things have to be addressed to make the homeland secure.
Which we'll wrap up with this idea, too, regarding ISIS or ISIS-K, as they're now known. Hearing ISIS, a lot of people are thinking, well, I thought we got rid of them and got them off the land and out of cities and pushed them back into their holes. Well, we did to a great degree, but they could still reach people's minds, obviously. But with ISIS-K, is that a standalone force, or are they reliant on enablers to do the work that they do?
Well, they have been rising and growing and expanding their capabilities in Afghanistan. They were already a problem that was growing but being dealt with by the U.S. military while we were still in Afghanistan. Following the withdrawal, their ability to use that failed state and territory for their advantage has exploded. And so in the unclassified realm, we've heard military leaders warn for the last couple of years that we face an alarming threat coming to the homeland from what is being plotted there in Afghanistan. We haven't seen, obviously, the intelligence behind that declassified at this point. But I will flag one other concern. Right now, obviously, with the fall of Assad in Syria, which is good for many reasons vis-a-vis Iran and its access in the Middle East, we are seeing the Turks going after the Kurds there in the northwest areas of Syria. And it's the Kurdish forces that have been guarding ISIS prison camps with some of the worst ISIS terrorists that were captured in the fall of the caliphate there that obviously President Trump won that victory in his first term. If we see those prison camps abandoned, those ISIS terrorists released, and those ISIS folks wanting to compete with really what is al-Qaeda in Syria now coming into control of Syria in Jilani, we may see a rise or an attempted reestablishment of an ISIS caliphate in the months ahead. So we have a lot of terror red lights blinking throughout the system abroad, here at home, and this is going to have to be a major focus of the Trump administration.
Find out more about the work of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. They touch on topics like this and related at FDD.org. He's a former naval intelligence officer who later served on the White House National Security Council as Deputy Chief of Staff, today a senior advisor with the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. Rich Goldberg, Rich, thanks for your insightful view of this and to bring us a better understanding and to help us remember, too, that tragedies and points of history really don't have an expiration date. They can always instigate as well as be learned from. And thank you for doing that.
You bet.